I've been in prayer, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to continue to what I started last week. But one of the declarations I have coming into this new season of 2026. Now, remember, God is the same whether it's 2020, 2021, 2022, 2025, or 2026. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And the thing is, we don't know how much tomorrow we have. Everybody with me? You and I don't know how much tomorrow we have. So the best thing we can do is to trust that tomorrow in the hand of the maker of who? Tomorrow. Let me say that again. The best thing I can do for myself is to not worry about tomorrow. And it's hard. It's so hard not to worry about tomorrow. It is so hard, young people. Wiser people, older people. It is so hard not to worry about tomorrow. I could be like, year is changing. I'm in the presence of the Lord. I'm like, God, what is it for the year? Kind of pressuring God, you know. What do you want me to do this year? What's the next step? And one of the things the Lord said to me, he told me a lot of things. I just want to tell you this. He said, just remain a disciple-making church. Just remain a disciple-making church. Remain a church that makes disciples. Everything we do around here, everything we do, everything we say, it's all about making you a disciple of Jesus. We are not a consumer-minded church. This is not a place where you come and we do a service for you and you feel good, you go home. Jesus is coming back. This is a good time for you to examine. I love it. This is a verse. It says, what's a disciple? A disciple is a person that follows a mentor. Is Jesus your mentor? I know some people, actually I've talked to somebody, I said, where do you go to church? They said, I go to church online. I said, really? Who's your pastor? Who's your spiritual authority? We all need a spiritual authority. The person says, Jesus. Well, then Jesus wouldn't establish the fivefold ministry. And I know a lot of time people mention, you know, my online. Online is my church. You know why? Because there is no accountability online. There's no accountability online. When I don't want to be accountable to anyone, you know what I do? I operate in what they call the individualistic mindset. I just live my life by myself. I don't let people in. I hold people like 6 feet away. That's too close, 6 inches. I just got it. 6 inches is really close. 6 feet away. A disciple is a student. Are you learning from your teacher? More than ever, as we transition into the year of 2026, I am more devoted for us to follow the instruction of the teacher. Jesus Christ is our teacher. To follow his precepts, his instructions. Our goal is to make disciples. And sometimes to make disciples, to make somebody or to turn somebody into a disciple of Christ, it takes being in your face. Who likes that? I don't like that. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. I don't like it. Once again, we go back to accountability. We need accountability. I don't know if you need it, but I need it. You cannot, as a matter of fact, there's a word in the Bible, in Hebrews where it says, do not forsake the assembly of the saints. I remember this, it says, it's French, it's like Église missionnaire. I always love this word. It's like people that goes from church to church. It's a very fancy word, the Église missionnaire. Those Christians, they go from church to church. Because accountability is something they hate. They don't like it. They don't like to get they don't like people too close. They don't want people to know them, or they don't want to know people either. You know, last week I touched on some of the roots issues that cause people to not receive God's love. It could be past experience. You know, experience you have in the church. Church people hurt you. Church people talk bad about you. Church people, you thought you had a friendship. And you know, there's a lot of hurt in the church. But what do we say? You say the church is a hospital. And for those of you who work at the hospital, nurses, Felix is not here, he's watching. You know, for those of you who works at the hospital, you know, nobody likes to go to the hospital. Even when we go visit a hospital, it's like, it's not fun seeing people in the hospital. But two things always happen. When you're sick, you go to the hospital. You either die or you get better. You know, the church is like a hospital. The same thing happens. When we come to Christ, we either grow or we don't grow. And you know what happened to us when we don't grow spiritually? Matthew chapter 13, 52 says, then he added, every teacher of the religious law who becomes, let me read it. Matthew chapter 13, don't worry about putting it on the screen. If you have your Bibles, let's open our Bibles. Matthew 13, 52. I have the New Living Translation. Matthew 13, 52. All right, so it says, then every teacher of religious law who become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a homeowner who brings forth his storeroom new gems of truth as well as old. I mean, there's a lot in this one. Jesus talking to the Pharisees is like, man, every time, the goal is not for you guys to remain in your religious rituals. But then any teacher, religious law, who turn to be a disciples, it's like they discover something precious. And then, of course, one of the key verses we could use is Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus said, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, our stuff shouldn't lord over us, because at the end of the day, we can't take them. There's this one guy, he was very rich, lots of money. And then, he was dying, and people was like, well, what's your wish before you go? Of course, he did a lot of good with his wealth. And he's like, well, there's one thing, I know it's weird, but I want you to bury me like this. People thought, it was like, it's kind of weird. He's like, no, he says, whatever you put me in, I want you to bury me like this. The word says, naked we came, naked we go. Just like that. They did. They buried him like this. Because he said, I've never heard someone on their deathbed saying, bring me my stuff. Really, at the end of the day, really all the stuff we killing ourselves for really won't matter. So my brothers and sisters, listen to me. Let us, as we change calendars, let us be more devoted to go after God. John chapter 3, verse 27. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, it says, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. Meaning, We have nothing if it hasn't been given to God. The ability I have to play music, it's a gift from God. So I'm going to use it to glorify God. So each of you here has a talent. The Lord has deposited something in you. That's why this whole mindset of you are 85, you are 80, you old, you can't do anymore anything. Please get that thought out of your mind. If you're still breathing, God can still use you. Like, I don't have anything to offer. That's a lie. I have nothing to offer. Really? That's a lie. You have so much to offer. The word says there is much blessings in giving than receiving. Thank you. So I want you to transition into this new calendar of 2026 with this mindset. I gotta give. I gotta love. I gotta serve. Where can I serve? I gotta give. A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. So I believe an honest assessment, evaluation is a good thing. Also, we can offer ourselves an honest assessment, judgment. Now, please give yourself grace. I told you a couple weeks ago, one of the hardest critics in our lives could be ourselves. And I tell you, I listen to my message all the time. Mondays, sometimes I'm like, come on, Ricardo. You can't say that. I laugh at myself too. People say, I'm funny. I'm like, that was not funny. Give yourselves grace. I said last week, it's a lot easier to love people than to love yourself. We hard on ourselves. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And then love your neighbor as. Help me out. How? So if I don't. Now please. I know we live in a generation where everybody is all about themselves. You can't worship yourself. You're not prettier. You're not more handsome than anybody else. Please. But you're not uglier than anybody else either. You're unique. Do not compare. Jesus, to you we lift our eyes. When your identity is in Christ, I tell you, man, there's nothing like it. Nothing to prove, no one to impress. I remember when the Lord delivered me from this. I don't have to compare myself with anybody. I mean, even this whole mindset of racism between white, black, yellow, black and green, you know, all those things. You know, Chinese, Spanish, all those things. Me, I've been around people who they look me weird, but I thought maybe they have, you know, they're constipated. Yeah. That's it. I've never, believe me, I have never dealt with racism when it comes to people make me feel like I'm lesser than them. You know why? I don't look into it. Because when I walk somewhere, guess what? I carry a presence. Because I'm so confident in the Lord. In the Lord. In Jesus. And when I'm telling you this, I can tell you stories here. Because Kendra is a white girl that we, as you all can tell, she's a white girl that I met in Haiti. And there was a time in Haiti, there was this hostility towards white people. So there are certain places I would go. I would go with my wife in my country, and people would be cursing her out. Now, can you imagine that? Yeah, so when I say I've never experienced racism, I'm not saying I've never heard it, but I never given into it. Because, I mean, I grew up in terrible situations. If anybody has a story or reason to be a victim, I have so much to say. Grew up in a dysfunctional family. Thank God that, you know, he restores things. I grew up poor. Didn't have much. Almost dropped out of sixth grade. The rest of my secondary school was pretty much, I've done it by faith. My 12th grade class was paid by an angel. I can't remember who I was talking to the other day. I'm like, I'm still trying to figure out this person who paid my school for the last year. So that's why I'm telling you, when people really encounter the love of God, it changes your mindset. It changes your mindset. And it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what your season is. And I want us to be disciples of Christ. Me, I follow Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I don't need to identify me. I am a Christian because that's what, according to the Bible, the people in Antioch first time saw the disciples, called them Christian. It was kind of a cursing word, saying you bunch of Christ-likers. You identify yourself as a follower of Jesus. And that's what will make the difference. If you're truly following Jesus, your life will exemplify the life of Christ. And you know what Christ did? He gave. He gave his life. So examination or an honest assessment of our life is a very good thing. Where in your life, changing this year, you know, coming to the next couple of days, where do you need to change? That's a good question. Take that to the secret place. Where do I need to make change? I'm not talking about New Year resolution, please. Okay? Now, if you must take a New Year's resolution, go for it. But we know they never survive March. All right? So, yeah. But I love this in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It says, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Is your faith genuine? Test yourself. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. Is Jesus Christ is among you? That's what I'm saying. I'm like, okay, Lord, are you here? Yes, God is here. Jesus is here. Is the Lord in my heart? Yes, he is. Because I know when I, even some thoughts I have, when those thoughts come, the Holy Spirit is like, Ricardo, what are you thinking? My conscience is alive. When I want to be built bitter, you know, we're talking about loving, God loves us in the way for us to love others. I wrote it here, I said, God, help me. Sometimes I can't love people. Sometimes I get into a situation in my life, I'm like, you know what? God, I really need you to love so-and-so through me and change my heart. And the Bible says it in 1 John. We cannot love outside of God. If you think you can really love people because you are this mighty man of God, mighty woman of God, please, humble yourself. We can't do it. It's impossible to offer forgiveness. So let us do all things through Christ who infuses us with strength. You know, like our sister said, shared, I call out to the Lord. I sought the Lord. He answers. Keep seeking God. When I don't have strength, I call on his name and he gives me strength. Let me tell you again, do all things through Christ who infuses you with his strength. All things, work, talk, even relax, even enjoy, even vacation, interaction with each other, house projects, responsibility, all things. So do all things for the glory of God. And you do it through the strength Christ is giving you. Jesus doesn't love us less when we messed up. And I tell you, some people, I heard this guy, he's like, he said his dad, he was born and his mom died and his dad didn't want him. So his dad gave him away. So when the grandma find out the dad gave him away, the grandma went, took him. Unfortunately, the grandma passed away. So he had nobody else. So when he was like 8 years, 8, 9 years old, so the dad was there. So they give him the dad. Man, the dad mistreated him. He said the only time the dad would touch him is when he smacked him in the head. Praise God, he met the Lord. I believe now more than ever, there is an urgency to hold tight to enduring faith. Enduring faith is what we call faith that endures when we are disappointed. Don't give up when your faith is disappointed. When people disappoint you. You know, don't give up. Enduring faith, Lord. Do that. Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Put your hands like this. Lord, baptize me with enduring faith. Increase in my heart enduring faith. Holy Spirit, you do it. Enduring faith. Faith that doesn't give up. Faith that doesn't give up when we face rejection. Faith that doesn't give up. Enduring faith. Thank you, Father. That you do it in the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, may our faith not rest on people's promises. Let not your faith rest on those. But let your faith rest on the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. I believe him. I trust him. You know, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Don't give in into the spirit of fear. You know, I know somebody, they said, you know, they've dealt with it, but they dealt with the spirit of fear where they're afraid that their wife would die. You know, it's like, oh, I'm scared that my wife would die, my husband would die. I'm afraid that my kids would get into an accident. I'm afraid of cancer. I'm afraid of, and then, of course, you know, when you live in the spirit of afraid fear, you know what happened? Perfect love casts out all fear, but also fear casts out all love. All fear casts out all faith. Don't give in into that. It is impossible to please God without faith. Those who come before God must know he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, sometimes you hear people, especially, I mean, I don't know how long we have in our marriage, but I hear people say, you know what, they can't wait to go to heaven to meet their mates, to see their husband or wife. You know, that's kind of a good hopeful thing, but let me remind you, there won't be any marriage in heaven. Man, I can't wait to go to heaven to see Jesus. That's where it should be. I'm not busting anybody's hope. There won't be any marriage in heaven. When I go to heaven, I see Sister Kendra, I'm not going to be like, oh, she was my wife. No, because I'm not taking the soul in heaven. Will I recognize her? Maybe. I don't know. But sometimes our hope is people cling to this hope that I think we should keep our eyes on Jesus. Can't wait. Being in love, being so madly in love with Jesus that, man, you can't wait to see Jesus. Lord, I can't wait to see you. I can't wait. Man, what's on this earth? What is it? Nothing. You read Psalm 90, right? Verse 14. Says, Lord, satisfy me with your unfailing love, with your mercy. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8, you can write that and read it later, but I love verse 8, where Jesus said, I tell you, then the Lord said, learn the lesson from the unjust judge, and even he rendered a just decision in the end, so don't you think God will surely give justice to this chosen people who cry out to him day and night. And then he says, I tell you, will the Son of Man find faith when he returns? Enduring faith. Hold on tight to it. This month, we celebrated Advent. And during the Advent, we understand that God pierced the darkness of this world with divine love, divine hope, divine light, right? Did we put them up there? Peace on earth, worship. We used to have them up here, but it says love. What was the first candle? Hope, peace, joy, and love. Now, let's not wait till next season to talk about those. Let us, in this year, be hope to the hopeless, light in the darkness, peace that surpasses all understanding, and love the unlovable. Let's not wait to love one another. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. If we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. We know that we really love. We know what really love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give our lives for our brothers and sisters. Help me, Lord. When I read this, I say, Lord, help me. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1:3, verse 16, it says, we know now what real love is. So therefore, you have to serve. Give your life for your brothers and sisters. Last week I said this and I'm going to repeat it. Abiding in the love of God frees us from all insecurity. And that's what I was talking about. When you abide in God's love, it frees you from insecurity. Then I know I'm so loved. I mean, there's nothing like growing up, like having your kids and telling them you are loved, you're accepted, you have a place, you belong, and then for them to grow up with an orphan mindset. You know what an orphan mindset is? I don't belong. Mom loves so-and-so more than she loves me. I told you, you're God's beloved. You are God's beloved. He loves you so much, he would still give everything. He's still giving everything. Live your life on this. Abide in God's love. And then when you understand God's love, you will realize that God's love is not a license for me to live as I wish. Because I love God, you know what I do? I live also in the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is to love what God loves and to dislike what he dislikes. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So you might encounter people this season, this year, who needs love, who needs light, who needs peace, who needs hope. Be all those. That's my charge for you. Common roots of for us to doubt God's love. I talk about it. I'm not going to repeat it. It's past experience. Here is another one. It's open, ongoing struggle with sin. Now, sin separates us with God. When I'm talking about sin, you know, in the church sometimes we talk about there's no such thing as big sin or little sin. Anything that goes against God's precepts is sin. And it could be just hypocrisy. You're just a hypocrite. You can't be honest with people. Or you just... there's another one. Cynicism. Skepticism. I learned this word this week. Skepticism. Kendra used this word a lot with me this week. You know, not, don't see the glass half empty. see it half full. Skepticism. You always see the negativity. Do you know cynicism could also be a sin? Because when you skeptic, you can't really trust people. It's hard to really love people. It's hard even to be vulnerable, to be yourself. Let me tell you, be yourself. Have nothing to lose. Live in the light, and you have nothing to lose. Live in the light, you will have nothing to lose. People who struggle with cynical people or cynical mindset sometimes end up in mistrust, or they can't trust people. They can't trust God. Skeptic people sometimes could even doubt God's love. Does God really love me? There's no way God's going to forgive me. Oh, he'll forgive you. Will God really love me? When I think about this, you know what I think? I'm like, Lord, give me the prodigal son's heart. When he was in his mess, he came to his senses. See, the prodigal son came to his senses, say, you know what? What am I doing eating pig's food? What am I doing here in this mud? I'm going to go back to my dad's house. I don't want to be a son. I just want to be a servant. It's the mindset. May the Lord grant us. So, warning, be careful. Be careful with skepticism mindset. Because there's a point where being a cynic could really offend God. Let's not be like that. I love this from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It says, may God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. You know, right now, ask the Holy Spirit to make you a person of hope. Would you do that? Pray that. Lord, make me a person of hope in a hopeless world. In hopeless situation, Father, in the name of Jesus, make me a person of hope. Past offense can cause us to be cynical. Don't give up on people. You know, sometimes we hurt so much, and then we're like, you know what? I give up on people. Don't. Now, someone may ask me, all right, you receive God's love, and I want to show you this short clip. It's a story in the Bible. How do I love people? Who's my neighbor? And we know the story in Luke chapter 10, but I figured it would be good to just show you again this short clip. You can just play it when it's ready. And so what did it cost the Good Samaritan? Think with me. He was from point A to wherever he was going. Saw a need. What did he do? First thing he did, change plan. Give up his agenda. And when you read the rest of the story from Luke, the question was, well, who's my neighbor? Who must I love? Because the Pharisee asked Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life? He says, well, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. And you remember last year I preached a message on that verse. And the Greek word that translated might mean is mehod, which means muchness. You know, and that's something we use in our English word when we want to insult somebody. It says, man, you're too much. You too. And I said, man, I want people to say, you're too much for Jesus, man. Because when somebody says you're too much for Jesus, that's about right. Now, I'm not talking about being a religious nut who you just have the talk and no walk. Don't let your talk deny you or betray your walk. And we see it here. So when I saw this, I'm like, you know, instead of talking about just this just short 4 minutes video, just speaks so much. Because there's so much we can learn. As we move forward, this world needs love. We have people in our own family that needs unconditional love with nothing in return. What did it cost Christ? What did it cost Jesus, God, to love us? Everything. What will it cost me to show love to the unlovable one? It'll cost me everything. And one of the first things I don't want to give is my pride. My pride. I don't want to humble myself. I don't want to humble myself. But do I have a choice? No. Do you have a choice? You don't. That's your charge. That's the charge for you. The most important commandment. If you have ears to hear, what do? You must listen. But once again, let's obey what the word says. It says, don't be listeners. Don't be just listeners. Do what you hear. Because that's how God will bless you. And I want us to experience God's blessing. I want you to live in God's favor. Amen?
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. We commit ourselves to you and to your ways. We say, like Mary said, when she heard that she was going to carry the Son of God, she laid her plans to the side and she said, may it be done unto me as you have said. So God, as we enter into this new year, God, may we have that posture. Do unto me, God, whatever you see fit. I'm your instrument. I'm here to reflect your glory in whatever way. God, we look to you. We turn to you. Teach us, Lord. We put our fears to the side. We cast away worry and anxiety, and we look to you. We look to you, we look to you, we look to you. We cry out to you, God, in our need. We cry out to you, God. Will you do that right now? Just cry out to him. Just say, God, I need you for this. God, I repent of this particular thing. Lord, I'm afraid of this. And God, as we cry out to you right now, Lord, we know that your peace and your love and your joy and your healing can take the place of all that worry and anxiety, pain, sickness. God, we turn to you right now.